They know Pastor Jack and the team went to Israel yesterday, which is good. I was under the impression he was going to be flying back for tonight's service, but he's not in the green room, so we have a guest for you tonight. I have his bio here, and I was going to read through it, but I feel like it's a little bit of a waste of time, because we all know who this man is, and he's been here more times than I can count. An awesome, awesome ministry, a unique ministry, an important ministry. It is Charlie Campbell's going to be with us tonight, and I would say this about Charlie. He's reliable with his information. He studies things that maybe the rest of us don't take the time or the energy to study. He equips us with the things that we need to know to kind of interact with our environment. And we all know somebody or some people in our lives that if they're not an atheist, they're another religion, or they have this belief or that belief. And sometimes it's kind of difficult to dialogue with these people if they have more information than us. It doesn't mean they have correct information. It just means they took the time to get ready to have an argument with you. And so Charlie has taken the time on these really key topics. He has a website, alwaysbeready.com. I would really encourage you, anytime you want to know about something, the chances are Charlie's probably prepared something for you on that. So definitely check out his website so you can access those resources. He's got some product here tonight. He will be in the foyer after service if you want to say hi. But please put your hands together for our dear friend, Charlie Campbell.
All right. Thank you for the warm welcome. It's always a blessing to see all of you again and to fill in for your pastor, although I would rather be in Israel. As blessed as I am to be here with you, I'd switch places with Jack if he needed someone over there. Well, it's great to see all of you again. Would you open up with me to Genesis chapter 3 tonight? Genesis chapter 3, we'll be considering a few verses here momentarily, but over the past 10 or 12 years that I've been filling in for your pastor once or twice a year, we have addressed a variety of different topics. In fact, I looked through my teaching log, and the first topic I ever addressed here from this pulpit was the Da Vinci Code. Remember that topic back in 2006? Well, we've covered a wide variety of topics since then. The topic of homosexuality, I think, was the last topic we addressed. Not without controversy, some of these topics. But tonight, I want to address the topic of New Age spirituality. New Age spirituality. What is New Age spirituality? What do adherents to New Age teachings believe? How do New Age views compare to biblical revelation? And how might we as Christians be better ambassadors of Christ to people who have embraced New Age teachings? Those are four questions I want to answer tonight, and I hope it will be helpful to us all. So let's go ahead and pray one more time, and then we'll consider the matter at hand. Heavenly Father, again, we're just thankful to be together here tonight with your people, to worship you and to give you the adoration that you are certainly due. And Lord, now as we consider the scriptures and their bearing on the matters that we'll be considering, we pray, God, that you would teach us. We pray that you would instruct us, that you would encourage our hearts, and that we would leave here better equipped to stand in the truth and to contend for the faith and to have fruitful conversations with people who've been entangled in New Age teaching. So bless our time together to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So what is New Age spirituality? Well, New Age spirituality is a diverse blend of ancient religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Gnosticism, and the occult. Mix all of those together and you get what people call today New Age spirituality, or even more simply, just new spirituality. And it is immensely popular here in the United States for reasons we will see shortly. But despite its label, New Age spirituality is not new. In fact, several of the popular beliefs embraced by New Age adherents can be found in basic form in the lies Satan told Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Notice with me there in your Bibles, if you would, in verse 1 and following. It says, "Now the serpent," referring to Satan himself, "was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Of course, this is the grieving account of Satan deceiving Eve there in the Garden of Eden many thousands of years ago. But thousands of years later, Satan is still doing the same thing, even telling many of the same kinds of lies. As I said a moment ago, many of the popular beliefs embraced by New Age adherents can be found in similar form right here in Genesis chapter 3. Notice again the lies Satan told Eve. He said, "You will be like God." Well, this is similar to the New Age view on human divinity. He said, "You will not surely die." This is similar to the New Age promise of reincarnation. He said, "Your eyes will be opened." This is similar to the New Age promise of enlightenment. And he said, "Has God indeed said?" A similar challenge to the New Age view on moral relativism. So Satan's still around, and he's still deceiving people with the very same kinds of lies. And we'll talk more about these New Age beliefs in just a bit. These kinds of lies, though, these kinds of teachings there on the screen, were widely introduced for the first time here in the West and in Europe back in the 1960s. It was then that a band known as the Beatles were influenced by a Hindu spiritual guru by the name of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. They appeared with Maharishi on the news, at transcendental meditation conferences, seminars, and lectures, and even spent time with him in India in the late 1960s. Well, from then on, there was a surge of interest in the West in meditation, yoga, and Eastern philosophy. That interest continues to this day, and two of the persons who are fueling the ongoing acceptance and embrace of New Age teachings and practices are Oprah Winfrey and Deepak Chopra. By promoting the books of several New Age authors, Oprah has probably done more than anyone to promote New Age spirituality, and I'll be quoting her a bit later on. If you haven't heard of Deepak Chopra, he's an alternative medicine guru, spiritual counselor, and New York Times best-selling author. By 1999, Time magazine had already hailed him as one of the top 100 heroes and icons of the century. His list of friends and admirers runs from Hollywood movie stars to the Dalai Lama. Chopra's 85 books, including 22 bestsellers, have sold millions of copies in English alone and have now been translated into 43 different languages. His overall yearly profit is currently $22 million a year. The Huffington Post recently did a global internet survey and ended up ranking him the 17th most influential thinker in the world and the first when it comes to medicine. Two of his best-selling books include The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success and How to Know God. Oprah Winfrey has had Mr. Chopra on her program numerous times. So he's very popular and unfortunately leading multitudes into a New Age, unbiblical view of God and reality. What does Deepak teach people? What do New Age adherents believe? Well, of course, there are a wide variety of beliefs that people within New Age circles have adopted, but there are 8 common beliefs that most of them share. So I'd like to go through all 8 of these just concisely and then respond briefly to each one of these beliefs with a biblical perspective. The first belief most New Age adherents have today is this: the belief that all is one. The belief that all is one. New Age adherents believe everything and everyone is interrelated and interdependent. Individuality is considered an illusion. Ultimately, to New Agers, there is no real difference between humans, animals, or rocks. According to the New Age way of thinking, all of these are of the same substance. They are simply parts of or manifestations of one undivided reality. Any differences between these entities are considered only apparent, not real. Now, this belief that all is one within philosophy circles is properly known as monism. Monism, based on the prefix mono, which of course means one or single. New Agers believe that we are one with everything, even golf balls. In his book, Golf for Enlightenment, Deepak Chopra shares spiritual tips for improving your game, including be one with the ball. I wish that worked. Gave that a try, but didn't seem to go so well. But he encourages his readers to think this way because he really thinks you are one with the ball. Deepak Chopra says elsewhere, you can talk to trees and stars. Everything is part of your body. Chopra's newest book is titled, You Are the Universe. Well, of course, for those of us who believe in biblical revelation, we disagree. God's creation is not an undivided unity, but a diversity of created things and beings. Creation is not unified in itself, but held together, the Bible says, by Christ, in whom all things hold together, Colossians 1 says. Now, more could be said in response to this New Age belief known as monism, but let's consider a second belief common to New Age adherents. It's closely related to monism, and that is the belief that all is God. The belief that all is God. New Age adherents believe that everything that exists is God. This is called pantheism, from 2 Greek words, pan, which means all, and theos, which means God. pantheism is the belief that all is God and God is all. Well, as we just noted, monism is the belief that all is one. Well, pantheism takes monism a step further. Pantheism is the belief that the oneness is deity. The oneness is divine. What's this New Age deity like? Well, according to New Agers, God is more of an it than a he. New Agers reject the idea of a personal creator who exists outside of creation and exercises control and authority over his creation. Most New Age adherents believe that God is a, cue the Star Wars music, a force, an energy that pervades all things, contains all things, and is found within all things. In other words, the universe itself is God, and God is the universe. Well, in response to this monism and pantheism, of course, all of this is unbiblical. The Bible says that the heavens and the earth are creations of God. Notice with me what the Bible says in Genesis 1:1. It does not say, in the beginning, God was the heavens and the earth. No, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is distinct from the universe. He's not the universe. He brought it into existence. John's Gospel, Chapter 1, verse 3 says, all things were made through him, a reference to Jesus, and without him, nothing was made that was made. The things that we see all around us are things that were made by God. Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17 says, all things were created through him and for him, and notice that he is even before all things. So not only is he distinct from his creation, the Bible makes it clear that he was around long before these things were even brought into existence. Pantheism, this idea that the universe is God, is unbiblical. But it's not just the Bible that proves problematic for the pantheistic view of God. Scientific discoveries have proven problematic for pantheism. How so? Well, scientific discoveries have demonstrated that the universe is finite. That is, it had a beginning. It's not eternal. Why is this a problem for our New Age friends? Our Hindu friends, both of whom hold to pantheism? Well, pantheists have historically held that the universe is eternal. For them, it must be eternal, because if it's not eternal, that means it had a beginning. If it had a beginning, it must have had a maker, because things don't just pop into existence from nothing. And if the universe had a maker, it cannot be God, as pantheists believe. Well, this is precisely what we've discovered to be true about the universe, that it had a beginning. Astronomers today are pointing to things like the background radiation echo, the second law of thermodynamics, and the motion of the galaxies, all of which have led them to the conclusion that the universe had a beginning. Well, this is just devastating to the pantheistic New Age view of God. Surely, the universe is not God, and pantheism is not true. So, New Age adherents believe in, number one, monism. Number two, pantheism, all is God. A third belief that's common to adherents of the New Age is this, the belief in human deity. The belief in human deity. If all is one, monism, and all is God, pantheism, then it logically follows from those two beliefs that we are gods. And that is precisely what New Agers believe, that humans are divine. Mormons have long been telling us that we can become gods. New Age adherents say we already are gods. According to New Age adherents, there is no supreme being to whom worship is due because we are all supreme. Deepak Chopra, for example, says, in reality, we are divinity in disguise, gods and goddesses in embryo, end quote. Oprah Winfrey said this, one of the most important books I have read in my life is a book by Eric Butterworth, Discover the Power Within You. And what Eric Butterworth says in that book is that Jesus did not come to teach how divine he was, but came to teach us there is divinity within us, end quote. Eric Butterworth, whom Oprah just cited there, says this, on his website. He says, quite often I am criticized for saying that Jesus is not divine. Actually, I'm not saying that Jesus is not divine, but I insist that all persons are divine. Jesus made the discovery of the divinity of man. He proved and demonstrated it in his own fulfillment, but the discovery was of the potential of all human beings. End quote. One more quote by Shirley MacLaine, the famous actress turned evangelist now for New Age spirituality. She said this in one of her books. She said, I know that I exist, therefore I am. I know that the God source exists, therefore it is. Since I am part of that force, then I am that I am, end quote. In this quote, Shirley MacLaine hijacks the title God revealed to Moses in the burning bush there in Exodus 3 and applies it to herself. She says, I am that I am. And that is what New Age adherents believe, that they are divine. New Agers believe that everyone is God. You're God, I'm God, we're all God. The lie Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden was that if she ate the forbidden fruit, she could become like God. But he's pulled off a real doozy with millions of people today. He's convinced people that they actually are God. Not like God, but that they are God. Well, in response to this, if there is one thing the Bible makes clear, it is that humans are not God. The Bible condemns the idea that humans are divine. Far from being God, the Bible says quite the opposite. The Bible teaches that humans are ungodly. In verses like Romans 5, verse 6, where Paul writes, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Not only are we not God, in our natural condition, we don't even behave in a godly manner. We're ungodly, this verse says. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7 how ungodly many of us are, or Mark 7 rather, in verse 21 and following, he says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. That is not godly behavior. God is absolutely holy. What Jesus describes here in Mark 7 and what we find going on in the world today is ungodliness. So humans certainly are not divine. Those who believe they are divine have made a serious error. All right, moving along, let's consider a fourth belief that's common to adherents of New Age spirituality, and that is this, the belief in the need for a changed consciousness. The belief in a need for a changed consciousness. For many New Age adherents today, salvation from sin and a coming judgment is considered totally unnecessary. What is needed, they say, is a change in consciousness. Why is that? Well, according to New Age proponents, we have forgotten that our true identity is divine. New Agers say that the human race suffers from a collective form of metaphysical amnesia. This is allegedly what has led many of us to be ignorant of our divinity. So, what's the cure? Well, according to New Agers, we must undergo a change of consciousness to discover our divinity and achieve our true human potential. That is the loftiest goal for New Agers, undergoing a change of consciousness, discovering this, their supposed divinity, so as to then be able to achieve their true potential. How does one bring about this change of consciousness? Well, New Agers, proponents of New Age spirituality, they encourage a wide variety of practices and techniques to enable individuals to make that discovery. These practices and techniques include the following: meditation, wherein the person seeks to achieve an altered state of consciousness. Yoga, the poses and breathing are said to aid meditation and increase a person's awareness of their divinity. The use of crystals. Crystals are thought to be great reservoirs of energy that can be released to purify our body and mind's energy systems. Channeling, contacting spirit guides. Creative visualization, wherein a person uses mental imagery to imagine themselves in the presence of an angel or a divine being. Visiting psychics, past life therapy, acupuncture, and something called astral projection. Astral projection is training your soul to have out-of-body experiences. Well, brothers and sisters, their insistence that we need to do these kinds of things to remind ourselves that we are God actually helps to prove that humans are not God. What kind of God forgets he's God? Not a God I want to follow. I'd rather follow the all-knowing, omniscient God who knows the number of hairs on my head and forgets not the smallest swallow. That's the kind of God I want to have a relationship with. I don't want to follow a God who needs crystals and acupuncture to remind it of what it is. You can't even refer to their God as a he. It's not a he. It's a force, remember, who doesn't know what it is. So poke it with needles and put crystals on its forehead and all that, maybe wake it up. And in addition to that, many of the practices used by New Age adherents to realize their divinity are condemned by Scripture. Take, for example, the practice of channeling. For those of you who don't know what channeling is a practice wherein a person seeks to receive messages from angels or the spirits of the deceased through a person, the channeler, who claims to be able to receive messages from the spirit world. Well, over and over again in the Bible, God condemns all attempts to contact the dead. For example, God says this in Leviticus 19. He said, "Do not turn to mediums," or they were called spiritists in Old Testament times, people who seek to consult the dead. "Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person." In Deuteronomy chapter 18, God brings this up again. He says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer or one who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist or one who calls up the dead." So channeling is just one of several New Age practices we believe are dangerous and unbiblical. Now, obviously, more could be said about the other practices, and you can find some help regarding them on our website at alwaysbeready.com. You can click on our New Age spirituality section. But if I don't at least briefly address yoga, people always want to know my opinion as soon as the study's over. They come right up to my table. You got it. What do you think about yoga? So let me just respond to that very briefly. Yoga, if you do not know this, is deeply rooted in the pantheistic religion of Hinduism. The postures in yoga, the breathing and chanting were originally designed not to bring better physical health and well-being, but a sense of oneness with Brahman, the Hindu name for the pantheistic god that Hindus believe pervades all things. Now, of course, the God of the Bible does not have a problem with you stretching. Stretching is actually very good for you, actually. So we want you to stretch. The danger, though, with yoga classes is not the stretching or the poses. It's the teaching that regularly accompanies the stretching. Many yoga instructors have a New Age or Hindu worldview, and they are not there just interested in helping you become more limber. They are oftentimes interested in helping you realize that you can become one with the force, the divine entity that makes up the universe. Now, that's my 2-minute response to yoga. We've got 4 or 5 articles that are much more in depth on that on our website for those of you that have more questions about this. All right, let's move along, though, and consider a 5th belief that's common to New Age adherents, and that is the belief in the oneness of religions. The belief in the oneness of religions. Most adherents to New Age teachings believe the world's religions are simply different ways of putting us into contact with the ultimate reality or God force. This belief is called religious syncretism. Religious syncretism. Many New Age adherents visualize the religions of the world to be a mountain with many spiritual paths to the summit. According to New Age teachings, there is no one correct path. George Lucas, who does hold to some New Age views of God, said this in an interview. He said, "I remember when I was 10 years old, I asked my mother, if there's only one God, why are there so many religions? I've been pondering that question ever since, and the conclusion I've come to is that all religions are true." That's religious syncretism right there. They're all putting people successfully into touch with the God force. Oprah Winfrey said this. She said, "One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way. There are many paths to what you call God. There are certainly many more paths to God other than Christianity." That is what New Age adherents generally believe. All paths can reach the top. But what is the top for New Agers? It's usually not heaven as it's revealed in the Bible. The destiny New Age adherents usually have in mind is enlightenment, the realization of their divinity, followed by an ongoing cycle of life, death, and reincarnation. New Age adherents are not envisioning living in the presence of a holy, praiseworthy God. No, they don't even believe in that kind of a God. They're envisioning being reincarnated as someone better in a future life, maybe a king or a queen or a spirit creature who's going to come back to the earth and watch over their loved ones. And I'll talk more about reincarnation in a couple of minutes. But when it comes to the top of the mountain, according to the Bible, we find that what is coming is actually quite different than what New Age adherents are envisioning. The summit or chief goal of life, according to the Bible, is not awakening the God within. It is knowing the God of heaven, the one and only true God in this life and throughout eternity. And to the top of that mountain, the Bible says, there is only one path. Jesus himself, God in the flesh, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Apostle Peter declared in Acts 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, 5, for there is one God and one, only one, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. John the Baptist declared in John 3, verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So the Bible is crystal clear on this issue. If you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to be rescued from spending eternity in hell, if you want to go to heaven, you must turn from your sins, the Bible says, and place your faith in Jesus Christ. And it's important to know that the Bible does not just make these claims. The Bible demonstrates itself, unlike any other ancient religious writing, to be trustworthy. With hundreds of fulfilled prophecies, its amazing unity, its amazing scientific accuracy and foresight, thousands of archaeological discoveries, and so on. And it's important to be able to, of course, defend the Bible. If we're going to start quoting Acts 4, verse 12, or John 14, verse 6, the first criticism, well, people are going to say, well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't even take that seriously. And it'll be important to be able to respond with some of these kinds of evidences. Our website can help you out with that. We've got books and resources, DVDs that can help you out with that as well. So because we're confident the Bible is trustworthy, we reject this fifth belief of the New Age, this belief in the oneness of religions. Moving along, let's consider a sixth belief common to New Age adherents, and that is the belief in reincarnation. The belief in reincarnation. Many adherents to New Age spirituality believe in an ongoing cycle of life, death, and reincarnation. Very similar to what Hindus believe. In contrast, though, with Hindus, New Age adherents rarely believe one will go on to become an animal or an insect in the next life. In the West, most people who believe in reincarnation have sort of glamorized it. They believe that they're not going to be held accountable because of bad karma and come back as a cow or a mosquito. They're going to come back as a princess, or a king, or a queen, or, you know, something more noble. Well, in response to this belief in reincarnation, we believe that reincarnation is unbiblical and untrue. The Bible knows nothing of reincarnation. Resurrection, yes. Reincarnation, coming back as another living creature, no. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. He said, "Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who have done good to," notice this, "a," just once. What's about to happen, he says, it's going to happen once. They're going to be brought forth to a resurrection. Notice that, not a reincarnation, but a resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, to a resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. So according to Jesus, one day all people, the saved and the unsaved, are going to have their bodies resurrected. Believers to everlasting life with the Lord, and the unsaved to a resurrection of judgment. This is only going to happen in a person's life one time. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "And it is appointed for men to die how many times? Just once." And what happens after that? The judgment. So, standing again on biblical revelation, we reject the New Age belief in reincarnation. A seventh belief that's common to adherents of the New Age is this: the belief in moral relativism. The belief in moral relativism. Moral relativism is the belief that there are no objective, no real moral laws or sins. New Age adherents reject the existence of any firm, real moral laws that govern all humans. To many New Agers, truth regarding morality and spirituality is immensely personal and entirely subjective, and this flows from their pantheistic view of God. If we are all God, then how could any of us rightly point to some behavior and say, hey, God doesn't approve of that? He must approve of it. He's doing it. Hey, you, breaking into that garage to steal that car, that's wrong. Well, it's hard for a pantheist to say that with much conviction because that's actually God breaking into the garage to steal the car. So in their view, it's the height of presumption to think that certain behaviors are actually sinful or that there are rules or guidelines that are morally binding on all people. Now, that's not to say New Age adherents don't strive to live moral lives as good citizens and even encourage others to do the same, but there's no underlying basis or foundation for declaring that certain behaviors are actually right or wrong. Well, in response to this moral relativism, the Bible, of course, teaches that there are absolute truths and moral laws that are binding on all people. The Bible speaks out very clearly in both of the Old and New Testaments about lying, for example, murder, stealing, adultery, drunkenness, and so on. So again, standing on the Bible, we reject moral relativism. And pantheists can't even agree with us or disagree with us, because we're God saying that moral relativism isn't true. See how that works? They've gotten themselves in a real bind buying into pantheism. All right, let's consider an eighth and final belief that New Age adherents have, and then I want to give some witnessing tips. Number eight, if you're taking notes, is this: the belief in a coming New Age. The belief in a coming New Age. Many New Age adherents believe the human race is progressing toward a new age of peace and prosperity, and this is where the movement gets its name. Why is it called New Age spirituality? Here's why. Because they believe we are headed towards a new age of peace and prosperity. This golden age, according to New Age literature and their websites, will be a time without hate, violence, wars, crime, racism, sickness, hunger, or death. They believe that this will be a glorious time on earth, a time in which there will be one nation, one language, one government, and one religion. That's interesting. The Bible says that these are some of the very things the Antichrist will seek to bring about on the earth in the last days. What do New Age adherents believe will usher in this new age? Well, they believe this age will be ushered in when more of the human race realizes their divinity. They really believe this. Well, in response to this, a world without crime and wars all sounds very nice. And the Bible does say that a glorious future is coming on the earth, but it makes it clear that it's not going to happen until the one and only divine King, Jesus, returns and sets up his kingdom on the earth. And the book of Revelation tells us that this is going to be preceded by a time of great tribulation when God will pour out his judgment on a sinful world. In Matthew 24, verse 21, Jesus said, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." This is what awaits the world after Jesus returns for his people and gathers them together at what is called, of course, the rapture of the church. Those who are expecting a new age to be ushered in as more people realize their divinity are in for a big shock. I pray that they will come to their senses and repent before it's too late. Now, what can we do to be more effective in our attempts to minister to people who've been entangled in New Age beliefs? Let me give you a handful of concise suggestions. Number one, I would encourage you to be friendly. Be friendly. This, of course, probably goes without saying, but I think it's an important reminder. We need to remember that people we disagree with are human beings whom God loves, and God wants us to love them as well. What does this look like in our conversations with them? Well, it should look a lot like 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. We should be kind. We should be patient with them. We're encouraged to be gentle with people as we seek to correct those who are in opposition. And of course, this is easier said than done, but this is one of the reasons why God has not left us orphans in this world. He's given us the Holy Spirit to create that kind of fruit in our lives so that we can more effectively minister to people. Our witnessing efforts are going to be much more effective if everything we say is spoken lovingly. A second word of encouragement is this: seek common ground. Seek common ground. When I talk with people of other religious persuasions, I have found it helpful to discuss some common ground before I bring up any points I disagree with them on. People tend to be more receptive to what you have to say when they know that they share some common ground with you. So with New Agers, you might point out that you agree with them in having rejected atheistic explanations for the existence of the universe. You might commend them on their love of reading or their search for the truth. You might talk about the fact that you agree with them on issues related to sports or love of reading or the outdoors or coffee. I don't know, politics. Find something that you have in common. That's always helpful. Number three, ask questions about their beliefs. Ask questions about their beliefs. Just because a person is taking a yoga class or wearing a crystal or is reading a book by a certain author doesn't mean that she is also a pantheist or holds to the beliefs of the average New Age adherent. So it's wise to ask some friendly questions about the person's beliefs. Simple questions like, do you have any spiritual beliefs? What are your thoughts about Jesus? What do you believe happens to people after they die? Their answers to those kinds of questions will give you some insight into what direction you might take the conversation. Number four, lovingly challenge them about the credibility of their beliefs. Lovingly challenge them about the credibility of their beliefs. If your New Age friend can see that there are some problems with her view, she may become more interested in what you have to say. And asking questions is a great way to help people discover the weakness of their view. Some possible questions would include, how did you come to that conclusion that we're all God, or that we're going to be reincarnated? Why should I believe that? What evidence do you have that that's true? If we are God, how did we become ignorant of that fact? If we are all God, why do so many people act so badly? And we've got more questions on our website along those lines. A fifth word of encouragement, open God's word with them and point out what the Bible says. God's word is alive and powerful, and the Holy Spirit has used it over and over again in the lives of people who've been entangled in a variety of errors. So we want to make sure we use it. And then sixthly and finally, be prepared to defend the trustworthiness of the Bible. I mentioned this earlier, but many people who harbor New Age beliefs have had some exposure to the Bible, but they've been persuaded that it's not reliable. So it will be immensely helpful if you're able to answer some of the common questions about its reliability. And if you feel like you're not up to speed in that area, again, I would point you to our website. We've got lots of free resources there to help you do that. Well, we've covered a big topic this evening. May God use us in the lives of those who've been entangled in any kind of teaching that's led them astray from Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, again tonight for your word. Certainly it is a light unto our feet. Without it, we ourselves might be believing some of the things our New Age friends are believing. But today, by your grace, we, your children, are not walking in the dark because you have spoken. You've revealed yourself to us in the Bible. We thank you for that. And Lord, we do lift up people all over the planet tonight who've been entangled in New Age teachings and false religions. Lord, we pray for a great awakening in our generation. We pray that you would open the eyes of those who've been misled, Lord, and that you would use us and other Christians in their lives to reason with them and to share the truth with them and to gently and lovingly get the gospel out to them, Lord. And God, even if there would be someone here tonight in need of the gospel, in need of being reconciled to you, Lord, we pray that tonight would be the night that they surrender their life to you, that they call out to you, that they place their faith in Jesus. We pray, God, that you would help them to do that while there's still time for them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.